Gratitude, Elder Henry D. Taylor. Henry D. Taylor, Conference Report, April 1959, pages 56-58. My dear brethren and sisters, conference time is always a thrilling time as the saints assemble from all over the world here at church headquarters. Friends warmly greet each other as friendships are renewed. Former missionaries meet in reunion and recall the soul-satisfying experiences they enjoyed while in the service of the Lord. I always approach this historic tabernacle with a feeling of reverence and awe when I consider that the saints have been coming here for 91½ years to hear the word of the Lord and receive inspiration from their appointed leaders. The building of the tabernacle being completed, the first conference was held here in October of the year 1867. We gain strength from each other, brethren and sisters, and I am confident that the brethren who stand in this pulpit feel the strength of your prayers and the inspiration that you bring with you. Many years ago I copied an inscription appearing above one of the entrances to the Union Depot in Washington, D.C., which reads, "He that would bring home the wealth of the Indies must carry the wealth of the Indies with him." So it is in traveling. A man must carry knowledge with him if he would bring home knowledge. That same principle is true today. If we would carry spirituality from this conference, we must have brought a spirit of spirituality with us. Springtime is a glorious time of the year as new life begins to stir and the earth seems to awaken from its long winter nap. An ancient biblical prophet has exclaimed, "For, lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land." This awakening is reminiscent of the death and the resurrection of the Savior, and we can appropriately dwell on the great debt of gratitude that we owe him for his atoning sacrifice. It has been said that, while gratitude may be one of the least of the virtues, ingratitude is one of the greatest of the vices. Selfishness, greed, and indifference are byproducts of ingratitude. A classic example of ingratitude occurred during the ministry of the Savior while here upon the earth. Luke records the event in these words, "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices, and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go shew yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass, that, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger." And he said unto him, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." Gratitude, brethren and sisters, results in love, unselfishness, and consideration for others. It has a refining influence, and when expressed, can be a beautiful thing. A recent newspaper account carried an interesting incident. The District of Columbia police auctioned off about 100 unclaimed bicycles Friday. $1, said an 11-year-old boy as the bidding opened on the first bike. The bidding, however, went much higher. $1, the boy repeated hopefully each time another bike came up. The auctioneer, who has been auctioning stolen or lost bikes for 43 years, noticed that the boy's hopes seemed to soar highest whenever a racer was put up. There was one racer left. Then the bidding mounted to $8. "Sold to that boy over there for $9, said the auctioneer. He took $8 from his own pocket and asked the boy for his dollar. The youngster turned it over in pennies, nickels, dimes, and quarters, took his bike and started to leave. But he went only a few feet. Carefully parking his new possession, he went back, gratefully threw his arms around the auctioneer's neck, and cried." President Richards, in a recent talk at Brigham Young University, quoted this beautiful thought expressed by Sir Isaac Walton: "God has two dwelling places, one in heaven, the other in a thankful heart. Which, O Lord, grant to me." The Lord expects us to receive our blessings with a grateful heart. Through a modern prophet he has made this promise: "And he who receiveth all things with thankfulness shall be made glorious, and the things of this earth shall be added unto him, even an hundredfold, yea, more." Many opportunities are constantly afforded us for expressing appreciation and gratitude for our numerous blessings. Daily, we should gather our families about us as we kneel in family prayer. Many times during each day we can profitably pause and in secret prayer give grateful acknowledgement for the multitudinous bounties of which we are recipients. On the first Sunday of each month a fast and testimony meeting is held in each one of the wards and branches. Members of the church are encouraged to rise and give public utterance of their gratitude for the countless blessings that the Lord has showered upon them. An excellent way of showing our love for our Heavenly Father and our appreciation for His blessings is through our righteous actions and righteous living. If ye love me, keep my commandments, said the Savior. In emphasizing this principle, we have many things for which to be grateful. Among them is the privilege of being born in this dispensation, when the gospel has been restored to earth in its fullness through heavenly messengers. And this gospel is a plan of salvation, and it can be a guide and a blueprint which, if followed, can lead us back once again into God's presence. Certainly we should recall with gratitude the mission of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, and His willingness to give His life that we might have salvation and the opportunity of obtaining exaltation. We can be properly grateful for the life of the first prophet in these latter days, Joseph Smith, and give praise to this man who communed with Jehovah, for it was through the prophet Joseph that the gospel was restored and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints established. We can give thanks for the presidents who have succeeded Joseph Smith, and especially for our present-day president. As we consider President McKay's kindness, goodness, and greatness, we can sing with all our hearts, "We thank Thee, O God, for a prophet to guide us in these latter days." Finally, I am deeply grateful for the knowledge that I am truly a spiritual son of our Heavenly Father, created in His image and after His own likeness, and although temporarily deprived of the privilege of dwelling in His presence, I can still communicate with Him through the medium of prayer and can receive strength, comfort, and guidance. May the Lord bless us all that we may have grateful hearts. I humbly pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, Amen.